welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I greet you in Jesus' wonderful name. Well, with the Lord's help, I'll continue sharing those thoughts that my good friend, Reverend Shirley Frisbee, shared with her partners regarding some concerns and statistics she had discovered about the condition of the church. And, beloved, if there's ever a time we need to support one another individually as well as the body of Christ, it's now. Christ established an ecclesia, the church. He said the gates of hell would not prevail against it. But it is an organization to some degree. It's a living organism. It meets together. It has pastors, teachers, and just as we see the early church, it has the Lord's Supper. It baptizes new converts into its assembly. It supports missions, as we see the early church did, and administers and edifies the members of the church. And it is only there that the fullness of the Spirit and gifts, as well as all the other functions that the church is called to do, can really be manifested. And this, you know, I've shared this while you might have a wonderful experience with God and walking with Him and an anointed time of prayer. There is nothing to take the place of the manifest presence of God when believers come together in a congregation united to seek the Lord. And God has ordained it that way because He says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is." So, beloved, the church plays an important role in the world. It is good for individuals, for families, for communities and states, and it's critical for the health of a nation. Therefore, for the sake of the nation's future health, the importance of the church needs to be emphasized. The health of the church needs to be rejuvenated, and the institution of the church needs to be supported and protected. Now, if you've listened at a length of time, you know I'm not talking about formal, dry, dead religious organizations. I'm talking about the vital body of Christ who honors the living head, which is Jesus. If any member of the body of Christ isolates himself or herself from the corporate body, the effect is that it reduces the influence of religious impact, which not only weakens the church, but also further the disintegration of society. Now, the Word tells us in Deuteronomy, the 12th chapter, verse 5, and I know that's the Old Testament, the Word says you're to seek the Lord your God, the place the Lord your God will choose from among all your people to put His name there for a dwelling. To that place you must go. We're obviously not under the law, but those who are rebellious will tell us that keeping the commandments is about our legalism, when a true sheep loves God enough to keep His commands without compulsion. So, beloved, I'm thinking now of a dear friend who is Spirit-filled, loves the Lord, has a vibrant relationship with God, but in the particular area she lives in, there's not any Spirit-filled churches. And she's tried, she's gone, she's visited, and there is one church, I won't name the denomination, close to her, and she started going, and she just thought, oh Lord, this is so dead. But the Lord has been continuing to move on her heart that He wants her to go there as a witness and just love the people and pray for them. You see, is any church perfect? Of course, there's none that's perfect, but we need to pray and support one another in love. Listening to tapes, reading Christian books, or even the Bible, watching Christian DVDs or TV, or even just fellowshipping with other Christians does not satisfy God as a substitute for assembling ourselves together in corporate worship in a place that God has placed His name. And so, you know, we may be uncomfortable with the religious practices of others or the lack of spiritual vigor in the church, but that discomfort is small compared to the effects of living in a society with little or no religious influence. And if you are listening to me today and you're one of those who isolates himself or herself from God's corporate body, I'm sure that you don't want to contribute to the decline of the church as well as for religion to become, you know, a relic of the past. Beloved, we're living in serious times, and we've all had times. Like David said, you know, we might be like in spiritual lethargy, and he would say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within thee. Bless his holy name." So sometimes we just have to arouse ourselves, force ourselves to get dressed and be glad to go to the house of the Lord. "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." You know, beloved, we're living in times where there may be a time when we won't have that privilege to worship. You know, there have been many prophetic words recently. In fact, I remember years ago, it was in the 70s, Pastor David Wilkerson, who's now with the Lord, predicted a catastrophe of God's judgment on America. And on the internet, there are many Christian news websites that are sharing horrific articles about the accelerating evil and degradation throughout the nations of the world. Here in America, many are going into the survival mode, and fear and cynicism and unrest is growing. While we need to listen to the Lord regarding whatever practical things he might tell us, how are we to stand spiritually, beloved? We're living in dark and evil times. What should be our response to the dark times that are coming upon the earth? Well, I'll give you the answer, if you don't know it, and that is to draw ever closer to the Lord, to be strong in faith, and let peace and joy rule in our hearts. In a world where fear is gripping the hearts of multitudes, goodness, the Ebola outbreak and epidemic in Africa, the war in the Ukraine, the situation in the Middle East, beloved, there's no stronger witness than joy. I believe it's the most powerful testimony, for Jesus is coming soon. Scripture says in Luke 21 and 28, "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your release, your redemption, your liberation is not far distant," praise God, "for you will soon be free. Your redemption draweth nigh," other translations say. Bible prophecy scholars for decades have been giving convincing arguments for the various positions, if you will, the pre-trib, the mid-trib, and the post-trib. I've always loved Iverna's Tompkins, sister of Judson Corwell, a wonderful preacher, tremendous sense of humor. She said, when someone was asked what's her opinion or her stance, she said, "Whatever preacher I heard last." But my response is, does it really matter? We just need to be ready when Jesus calls us. There are some things I believe the Lord just won't let his people know until it's time for us to know them. Regarding his judgments, God has always shown a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. In other words, between the wicked and the righteous. That's Exodus 11 and 7. So as darkness covers the earth and gross darkness the people, brother and sister, you and I must pray. We must be sober and occupy until he comes. In a very personal way, I just want to speak to you. The Lord does not want you anxious concerning the things that are coming upon the earth. For Psalm 31 and 15 says, "Your times are in his hands." God is a very present help in the time of trouble. "Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea." That's Psalm 46, 1 and 2. And while, as we listen to the news and look around us, it seems apparent that we're in the very end of the end times, and that a global new world order is rapidly coming into being. In fact, I'm certain it's being prepared right now, and when the time is right, it'll just very quickly move into place. However, what does Jesus tell us? "These things have I spoken to you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Regardless, beloved, of what the future holds, our cry should be that of the three Hebrew children regarding the God of this world. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us, and he will deliver us out of thine hand. They were speaking to King Nebuchadnezzar, who had erected a golden image and wanted everyone to worship it. They go on to say in Daniel, the third chapter, verses 17 through 18, but if not, in other words, if we're not delivered, be it known that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And of course, you know the rest of the story. One like a fourth figure, as they were thrown into the fiery furnace, likened to the Son of Man, was with them, and they came out untouched, not even the smell of smoke on their garments. And there's a scripture, I guess I could call it a life scripture, that God gave to me personally before I was ever saved. And that's my prayer for all of you, beloved, that are listening, as well as my UCM spiritual family. And that is Psalm 27 and 5. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Praise God. Well, beloved, in the closing moments that I have on the broadcast, I'd like to take a moment just to pray. We've covered so many things this week, especially the last few days, in terms of the condition of the church. And so, Father, we just lift the church to you. We thank you, Lord. We're grateful for that scripture. Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. And so, Father, for the persecuted Christian, those who are suffering torture and deprivation and even martyrdom for the sake of Christ, strengthen, Father, and you're able to deliver them out of the hand of wicked and evil men. We pray, Lord, for them, and we pray for every member of the body of Christ that is going through persecution and sorrow and suffering right now. Lord, we ask you to move, especially among Christians in the Middle East, the horrific situations that are there. And Lord, in this country, rouse your people, those that are indifferent or apathetic. Raise us, Father, to a holy love to see you, the gospel preached and your kingdom advanced. We pray this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Praise God. Well, it truly has been a privilege to share these truths with you. Continue to pray, beloved. And it's a real burden on my heart. And so also, if you have personal prayer needs, it's my privilege to pray for you. The announcer will give you our contact information. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying may God's best for everyone.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,